Well, today's lesson, if you have your Bible there, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 2. So open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2, and this is a teaching of Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote a letter to the Corinthians. One of the churches that he established in Asia was in Corinth, and they were baby Christians, new believers. And so they didn't know what to expect really from their walk with the Lord. They didn't know how to walk it out. They didn't know how to establish their church and what was expected of them by the Lord and by men. And so Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians and starting in verse 2 and giving them instruction about how the Lord teaches and about how the Holy Spirit teaches. And this is a follow-up to the messages that I've taught here and spoken here the last 6 weeks or so on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, we talked about the passage of Scripture in Joel 2:28, and in that passage of Scripture, Joel prophesied that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And Joel said that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even your maidservants and manservants will prophesy in that day. And so that happened, as we saw in the second chapter of Acts, and that was the kickoff, you might say. That was the initial bomb being dropped there that kicked off the Holy Spirit being poured out on all mankind and the Holy Spirit baptism. And so that event that you saw in the second chapter of Acts, if you have not read that, well, pick up your Bible and read that second chapter of Acts. And it says they were all in one accord, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And Jesus had prophesied, you might say, or foretold that this was going to happen, because he knew that as he left this earth after the resurrection, that the church would be needing some direction, the church would be needing inspiration, revelation, exhortation. And so Jesus told them in John 14:17, and talking to the disciples, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the helper may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, as he abides with you and will be in you. And so he was telling the disciples that no longer would Jesus be with them. And of course, many of them did not understand. They didn't understand the full ramifications of what he was saying. But the Holy Spirit did come, just as Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, go to Jerusalem. Acts 1:7 and 8, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for that which has been promised to you, and wait. And he said, the Holy Spirit will come, that Spirit will come, and it will give you power, and power to be my witnesses. And so that is God's will for us, is that we walk forward in power. Not only do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not only do we receive that Spirit baptism, but also that we then be transformed from a powerless person into a person with power that wants to go into the world and witness for Jesus Christ, tell the world about Jesus. And then, of course, we know that this is how the gospel is spread. It's spread on radio, it's spread on TV, it's spread on the internet, it's spread by face-to-face preachers in remote villages all around the world, and it's spread by missionaries being sent out by churches and going to remote villages or big cities or continents far away, mountain continents, desert places, islands in the Pacific. And so there are many ways that the gospel is spread, but each and every way is ordained and blessed by God, and each and every way that the gospel is spread is a vision given to some person. It's a result of a vision given to some person by the Holy Spirit and by the wisdom and counsel of God. And I would just say, brothers and sisters, if you're listening today and you're wondering what God wants to do with you in the body, and you haven't figured out what your calling is, just pray about it and turn to Ephesians 4:11, and we see there the fourfold ministry. Some people call it the fivefold ministry, but he says Jesus gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And so just pray about if you are a mature Christian, if you've moved beyond being a baby Christian, if you've moved beyond immaturity and just feeding on the milk of the Word, and you're into the deep meat of the Word and your deep counsel of the Word, just pray about where God wants you to serve. Ask Him, Lord, where do you want me, Lord? What is my destiny? Where is my calling, Lord? What is my calling? And you already, I'm sure, been attracted to certain aspects of ministry. If you're walking with the Lord, if you've been studying the Bible and you're spending time with Him in prayer, you probably already know that there are certain things that you are more prone to do or more attracted to. Like maybe winning souls is the thing that really fires you up, that you like to talk with people about being a soul winner, that you like to talk with people about their salvation, and maybe every conversation that you have with people leads to you asking them about their salvation or bringing up, are you saved and do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Well, if that's a description of you, you probably have the calling of an evangelist. If you feel like you want to go to a foreign nation, maybe you've never been on a mission trip, but it intrigues you and interests you and makes you get excited just thinking about maybe going to some foreign country and leading a mission trip or just being part of a mission trip. Well, then you may have an apostolic calling, which is to say that you want to go lay a foundation. You want to go build where nothing else has been built before. You want to go lay a foundation and become an architect of a plan that is a church, maybe plant a church or do something such as that. And so the callings are laid out there for each and every person, and God distributes the callings as He wills, but also know what your calling is by what you're attracted to, what you're fascinated with, what you love to do, and it always fits your makeup. It fits your personality. It fits your unique capabilities and your unique abilities, your unique gifts. And so as Jesus left, he left them the Spirit of Truth, and the Spirit of Truth is our counsel and gives us wisdom in all matters. Well, as you have your finger there in 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to start up this teaching about how the Holy Spirit teaches. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, Paul explains how he teaches himself. He says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." And so Paul is relating to them that he was not a slick and articulate speaker. He was not relying on his debating skills. He was not relying on his intellect, although Paul obviously was a very intelligent man and was groomed and trained by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisaical sects that ruled in Israel at that time. And so Paul was a very articulate man, but he did not rely on that to transform the lives of the people that he was preaching to. What he relied on was the power of the Holy Spirit. What he relied on, he says here in verse 3, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, what does he mean, the demonstration of the Spirit and power? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11, he says, "I have become foolish." He's talking again to the Corinthians, the same group of believers. He says, "I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, but in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. And then in verse 12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. And so Paul says here in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 12 that he came to them and he performed the signs of a true apostle, which is signs and wonders and miracles. And so Paul, because he had the anointing, because God had blessed him in his mission, and Jesus Christ had actually instructed Paul personally, not only here on this earth, but also in revelations given right in heaven, as Paul relates in 2 Corinthians 12, that Jesus took him up to heaven and instructed him personally and showed him some of the deeper secrets of the kingdom of God. And so Paul was able, when he went to minister then, when he went out into the field in his apostolic calling, he was able to minister with signs and wonders and miracles. And what does it mean to minister with signs and wonders and miracles? That means the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating in you in full regalia, or in full spectrum. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating in a full passion and full charge in you. And of course, those gifts of the Holy Spirit lead you to perform miracles through the power of God. They lead you to perform healings by the power of God. They lead you to do things of great, that require great faith, by the power of God. And they lead you to have a word of knowledge that will give you revelation about person's individual conditions. It will give you a word of wisdom that gives you wisdom about how to use that knowledge in individual conditions. And so these gifts that were poured out on Paul, that were given to Paul, he used them to their fullest extent, and he used them to their utmost, and he led people to the Lord by manifestations of signs, wonders, and miracles. And so he didn't have to rely on his intellect. He didn't have to rely on crafty arguments or contrived debating or contrived arguments. He was able to just go into a village many times, maybe, and just cast out demons. Many times he would go in and just speak healing over people, or lay hands on them, or pray for their illnesses and their sicknesses. And I'm sure many times that the anointing that was on him was transferred to other people. And that's how these churches got established, was that the anointing, which is a transferable anointing, the impartation of that anointing was given to those. And so they were able to overcome great difficulties and overcome governments that were opposed to them, and overcome their own families who were opposed to them. And so God had given Paul this great anointing, and Paul was able to share that with the people that he ministered to in signs and wonders and miracles. Well, he goes on to say that verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "We do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written," this comes from Isaiah 64, "things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, of which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us," verse 10, "God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Well, praise God that the Holy Spirit searches the depths of God, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, because the Holy Spirit is the triune part of God that rots in us, that activates in us our godly calling, that activates in us our desire to live like Jesus Christ. And it comes when we accept Jesus and confess him as our Lord and Savior, that God is so merciful and so graceful that he gives a part of himself, his own Spirit, to reside in us and counsel us and give us the mind of God. And how great is that? I mean, you just can't even describe it in earthly terms. You can't even describe it in words. Words just are too inadequate to even describe what the Holy Spirit does for the believer, and what the Holy Spirit, how it acts in the believer and gives him wisdom and counsel and power and the gifts to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. And all these things are a result of accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and walking in the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And what he's talking about there, words taught by the Spirit, is partly what he's talking about is speaking in tongues. This is a language of the Spirit. This is the language of the Spirit, and the Spirit teaches through tongues. The Spirit teaches through the interpretation of tongues. Two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And so the Spirit teaches through tongues, and it teaches through the interpretation of tongues. And so that is what he's referring to here, words taught not by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Verse 14, what a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of God that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Jesus Christ. And so that, again, too, is from Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? And, of course, no one knows the mind of God. We are created in God's image, but we don't know the mind of God. God gives us wisdom and counsel through the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I've had many people ask me, because I give prophetic words over this radio broadcast, and I speak prophetically many times, and I also preach prophetic messages, if that's God's will for me, if that is what he calls me to preach. And people say, well, Jim, how do you know this is going to happen? How do you know? How do you know it isn't going to be great here in America for the duration of the time that I'm here on this earth? I mean, what gives you the right to say certain things are going to happen? And beware and watch out and warnings. And what is your right, and what authority do you have to say that these things are going to happen? And when you walk with the Lord in a deep way, and you get beyond childhood, and you stop just living off the milk, and you get on to a deeper understanding, and you go into adolescence, and you start eating, I guess you would say, junk food and snack food. That's a pretty predominant diet for adolescents. And then you even go on beyond that into the meat of the Word, the deep heart meat of the Word, with fasting and prayer and an intimate walk with the Lord and a presence of the Lord. You just desire it and crave it so much in your life. Then God will give you those gifts of the Holy Spirit that lead you into a deep and intimate walk with the Lord and the Spirit and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And he will instruct you with those dreams and visions. He will instruct you with those prophetic words that you become a seer into the future. You become a seer, and prophecy is not just all foretelling. It is also forthtelling. It is also speaking the truth, and there is some foretelling, because God will instruct you on things even yet to come. He tells us in the book of John that he will instruct us through the Holy Spirit, even on give us the truth in things yet to come. And so when you abide with the Lord and the Holy Spirit abides in you, you have instruction and wisdom and counsel, not only for the present, but for the past. You can see things that have happened in your life and things that need to be changed. Maybe you need to go to someone and ask their forgiveness, somebody that you hurt years ago, or reconciliation or restoration of relationships or situations that happened to you years ago. And maybe you just need to go and rectify that, and the Holy Spirit will give you the counsel and the wisdom how to do that. And it will also give you wisdom and counsel on how to proceed in the future and to avoid landmines and to avoid the pitfalls that Satan tries to lay for you and the traps that Satan tries to lay for you. And so God doesn't speak by the words of human wisdom. He doesn't speak by natural words, but God teaches us from the spiritual words. He teaches us from the Spirit. He teaches us in ways that the natural mind says, well, that's foolishness, that's craziness. But for the people who walk with the Lord, we understand perfectly when God is trying to speak to us and when God is trying to show us something and when God is trying to warn us and give us reproof or instruction or revelation. Well, this is the teaching for today. Brothers and sisters, I hope you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, do that today. Don't let this day pass you by. Do not harden your heart. Let today be the day of salvation. Just get on your knees and ask Jesus to come in and be the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life. He shed his blood for each and every one of you. He shed his blood that you would know him for eternity, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hope you have that assurance, that blessed assurance, that you have everlasting life. Well, we look forward to joining you again next week. Tune in next week at the same time. God bless you, and thank you. Have a great week.